as yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
And today, the Prime Minister attempts to rehabilitate his image and ours with a brand new blue comedy act.
Finally!
It's going to turn things around for everybody. What else we got?
The heroic pushcart of Cairns.
Oh, that's important news.
Saving lives.
Oh, what about cheap wedding ideas?
Oh, good idea.
They're always needed.
Marsland needs those. Flying cars are on the way.
What about some new Mercedes Corby revelations?
Oh,
I think we'll find out if Russell Crowe is right. Do cheerleaders make men feel uncomfortable?
Be uncomfortable.
And new listener events.
Oh, yes.
We're always looking for those.
Yeah, that's the big one today. And also, all right, Johnny boy, you've had a go at me in the paper. Let's see what happens when Ed's got his own radio show.
All this and more coming up on Get
Not
This.
So tough now, Johnny boy.
Where today we're launching our new dress code.
Oh. The requisite short skirts or lycra suits are turning off tens of thousands of self-conscious young girls.
It's Get This around the nation. Why are we playing Baywatch?
Because the Irish blokes at the Gaelic Club, where I saw Noiseworks perform, said to me that he walked up to me and said, "What's this band? Are they serious?" I said, "Yes, they're serious." And he said, "Oh, their songs sound like the feckin' Baywatch team."
The feckin' Baywatch team. Okay.
Our Emerald Isle friends.
I'm not sure if we can say feck in this time slot.
Can we?
Hey, I've just heard. By the way, it's myself, Tony Martin. It's Ed Cavalli. Richard Marsden's pushing the buttons.
Ricardo!
Are we getting Ardal O'Hanlon on the show? Father Dougal from Father Ted, Nikki?
Yeah, there's a good chance.
Oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get him in and try and sign him up for the Bill Shorten story.
I know you are.
I know you can't see it yet, but it'll all fall into place.
You should be Tony Martin's CSA. You've got Cassie in your blood, sir. Who's going to play you, though?
There's so many candidates.
Come on.
Andrew McCarthy.
Really?
Anthony Michael Hall. There's plenty of people who could be me. Look, we need to start this show with controversy.
Okay.
So we've got to get some big stories happening. What is going on with the Corbys? Did you see that story last night?
Yeah, I saw a bit of it.
They love
I just want to ask a question, though, at this point. Are we still sponsored by the all-new Mercedes-Benz Corby?
Is that
true or not?
I don't think.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure that we're sponsored by anyone at this stage, except our listeners. Send in if you want to be one. Don't need to send money or anything.
No.
And we're not looking for businesses.
No.
Just people.
People.
Individuals.
People who aren't getting their name out there enough.
Is that a photo of Mercedes Corby pulling a bong on the front of the
Mercedes.
Australian today? Or am I just getting that wrong? Is that what it looks like to you, Richard?
Is it a three-page featurette? Is it something that they've done? A special photography expose?
I don't know.
Has she posed for them?
It's all coming out on Today Tonight. And apparently more bombshell revelations tonight. What are they going to unveil tonight? I hear there's a rumour that Mercedes Corby tried to smuggle 3 kilograms of marijuana through customs into Bali, strapped behind her teeth. That's what I heard.
Plenty of room.
Just a rumour. It's not true. It couldn't be true. There's nothing else from this story I can read out.
No, really?
Controversy involves footballers most of the time, I find.
Hang on. Is it another one?
It's the same one from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Two Carlton footballers accused of being drunk.
Oh,
drunk.
Come on, guys.
It doesn't help when their names are Whitnell and Scotland.
No.
You've got Whitnell.
Whitnell and I.
The most drunken character in the history of cinema.
And he would know that.
And Scotland, well.
Wow.
Certainly the most drunken country I've visited.
Is it?
Certainly
drunk
is.
Drunk in the streets?
What's that business? The red stripe. I was going to say the white stripes. They don't drink the white stripes. The red stripe.
Is that a beer?
That is a beer. And I know you hear cliched stories about, warm beer when you go to the UK. I was at the Edinburgh Festival and I'm asking for a red stripe and the blokes just handed me one off a shelf. And then I said, "Have you got a cold one?" And he's gone down the other end of the shelf, the shady bit of the shelf, and handed that to me. Scotland and Whitnell, the worst possible names you could have if you were trying to not be drunk. I would have thought.
Yeah.
But, the allegations are that a woman was accused of being a lesbian. And then punched in the face.
Is that because she didn't want them, I'm assuming? Is that why that?
What are they going to plead?
I don't know.
Pre-season?
they're going to plead the Glenn Milne defence, I'm guessing. But Whitnell, he's trying to explain this, says they lost track of time. It was just a misjudgment by us, he said.
So true.
We didn't realise the time. We didn't have a watch on.
I've done that, Tone. I've been out, right? And I'll just be out having lunch, loose you know, idea of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just swinging. I'm just swinging at people, calling them all sorts. And then someone goes, Ed, it's 4 o'clock. Gee, sorry, guys.
I'll calm down now.
Sorry. Now I know it's 4 o'clock. I'll pull my head in. But before that, I completely understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm sick of this. Why should they get victimised? Every single day, you know, poor footballers getting caught punching people in nightclubs, defenceless people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let them do it.
Give them a watch.
Yeah.
Give them a timepiece. They need a little fob watch.
They do.
What about that Ian Healy? They're still going here, I see. And there's an article in the Melbourne papers today by Robin Riley who says, you know, it's just not the sort of behaviour you want to see from someone, a respected figure, in a commentary box. And she says, that's why Richie Beno has lasted so long. He'd no sooner be pretending to play the violin as he would break into a rap song.
I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see him pretending to play the violin, just not in an offensive context.
Oh, just in a really, like a really detailed way.
Just a bit of mime would be good.
Mm.
Is he on for a bit of rap? I don't know. Oh, what's this? Rolling down the road, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on the money. And money on my mind. Got bitches in the living room getting it on, so what you gonna do? Got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do, too. What's that about? Are we still going to air?
Come on, Richie.
I didn't even know what that song is. Ed just handed me these lyrics. What is that?
It's Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Is that coming up?
Yeah, I think
Endo.
So.
The Endo.
You know, we need some help on this program.
Yeah.
We need new segment ideas.
Oh, yeah.
We need more discipline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Timepieces all around.
The comedy needs sharpening up.
Really?
We are going to bring in an expert. Someone who's going to show us how it's done. That's going to be next on Get This. Oh, thank you. The John Butler Trio Funky tonight, this morning, here at Get This, around the nation. Ed's here. Richard's here.
Hey.
Simon Palomar's coming in.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
In the next hour to class things up a bit.
You'd know his back catalogue, wouldn't you?
He's pretty suave.
Is he?
He's got a couple of forgotten, I don't know how to use the word, classics. There's a couple of nerd titles we can spring on him from the bottom shelf down at Video Easy.
Good, good, good.
But we do need help on this program.
Mm.
You know, there's been a lot of trouble lately. And I thought, let's get in a guru.
Good idea.
Someone who's done a bit of comedy.
Yeah.
Who's got some runs on the board to help us, you know, give this show a bit of a shakedown.
Brett Lee?
Close. Can't guess who it is? Had a bit of a think tank yesterday.
Okay.
Here's how it unfolded. Oh, look, this is great. I can't believe you've agreed to come in and help us out with this.
Tony, I've been here before.
When did you actually become a fan of Get This?
During the course of last year. I can't put an exact time on it. It wasn't a Damascus Road conversion.
Now, you yourself used to be in a comedy team.
Yes.
What were you called again?
Wastage and Seepage.
That's right. Which one were you?
Seepage.
Yeah, you guys were pretty funny.
Well, you assert that.
Yeah, there's quite a few clips of you on YouTube.
Yes, I know there are. But
do you mind if I just throw a set up at you, see if you've still got it?
Please do.
Okay. I was reading Glenn Milne's column on global warming on the weekend. How much do you reckon he'd had to drink before he wrote that one?
That's an impossible question for me to answer. But it's certainly a large amount. I can't tell you the precise figure. It's obviously thousands of gigalitres.
That's pretty good, but I think you're labouring it a bit, making it a bit obvious.
But Tony, I'm saying whether it's obvious or less obvious or more obvious is not really the point.
Yeah, I just reckon it'd work better if I kind of talked over you up until the gigalitres line. Just try it again. Mr. Howard, how much do you reckon he'd had to drink?
That's an impossible question for me to answer.
Oh, come on,
but
Mr.
It's certainly a large amount.
Yeah, a large amount.
I can't tell you the precise figure.
How much?
It's obviously thousands of gigalitres.
Well, what do you think?
Well, it's a very interesting technique to keep talking through me.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind, I'm trying to provide a response.
Right, so you're not into overlapping dialogue?
No.
Very good. Very good.
It's a question of how you do it.
Well, I'm glad you're here to lend your expertise, because we had a lot of complaints about a recent sketch where we chopped up an interview with you to make it sound like you were talking about Richard Marsland and the Australian flag.
Well, I think it can be pushed too far.
You claim he was inserting the flag into his own bottom.
Well, I think it can be pushed too far.
Yeah, okay, all right. But now we're having to find ways to squeeze more music into the show.
Well, I accept that it is a challenge, and if nothing is done about it, the consequences could be very serious.
Apparently, we're not playing enough hinder.
I find that hard to accept.
So we've really got to take a look at all of the segments. Which ones do you think are working the best?
Well, I would think at the moment very few, if any.
We've got a great new idea, Caperl.
Mm.
Everyone in Australia wearing capes for a month.
There have been plenty of examples in the past where those sort of scenarios have been embraced and they haven't been realised.
Yeah, well, that's not always been our fault.
Well, look, I'm not trying to apportion blame.
Yeah, so let's leave Ed out of this. Mm. He's already had two new ideas this year.
I don't think we should be into exaggeration.
Very good. Look, there's not a lot of new ideas here. Do you think the public would go for a segment called Richard Marsland's Dirty Sanchez Masterclass?
The answer to that is no.
Mm. Vinny wants to reenact the opening scene from Short Bus on Mornings with Kerry Ann.
That would be ridiculous.
Oh, God, we've got nothing. I've got to face management this week. What can I do?
Well, you can do a whole lot of things.
Yeah, right. Well, hang on. Hey, that's great. That thing where you don't actually answer the question. How do you do that?
Well, there are certain ways.
Right, like just throwing the question back at the person asking it?
That's one way of doing it.
Like, if I was to ask you, Mr. Howard, this new two-hour show, will it be more expensive?
Yes, Tony, I think it will become more expensive.
Yeah.
Whether it becomes much more expensive depends a bit on what you mean by much more expensive.
Ah, brilliant. But what I need is an all-purpose answer for anything.
Well, that would be a matter for a future government.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to kill at this assessment.
I'm sure you will.
I'm going to be the next...
Wastage and seepage.
There he is. They were great wastage and seepage. Did you ever see them live?
No. What was their act?
The boaters, the blazers, the canes. Yeah.
Double entendres.
Bit of coin up the Khyber.
Carry on up the Khyber.
It was gold.
Now, they... Tone, how do you get him to say Tony all the time?
He just says it.
You're not going to say, are you?
Should I say?
Go on.
Oh, they might stop doing it if I say it.
Oh, really?
Ah, damn it. Tony Jones.
Yeah.
Tony Jones on the late line.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed when he wasn't named host? A little bit.
Okay. No, it's just that thing where, because somebody's obviously schooled them all to keep using the interviewer's name.
Yeah.
You know, it's some nonsensical blue sky gear. But it's playing right into our hands. We need some music. And then we'll be back to talk some rubbish on Get This. That's no doubt. It's My Life, the old classic from Talk Talk,
that's
I think,
it.
Richard. What trivia have you got for us today? Haven't we been learning since we managed to snaffle Richard back from the shebang hit? We learned that there were two Marthas in Martha and the Muffins.
Yep.
We learned that Paul Schaefer wrote It's Raining Men.
It's Raining Men.
What else you got for us?
Today,
yeah.
Who have we got coming up? We've got Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
Billy Idol, White Wedding.
You got nothing on that.
Got nothing.
Got nothing.
I got nothing today.
Pants down, Marsland.
Yeah, okay.
While you're thinking...
doesn't
trouble.
Billy Idol have some... He's got some of that gear, some of that sort of hotel room gear, doesn't he? Didn't he have one of those rumours go... Oh, no, hang on, maybe that was Bross.
Yeah.
Mm.
There was a quite filthy one going around. Oh. I think it was... Maybe it was Bross.
Probably best not said.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Call in.
Just gonna
call
say
in
Billy.
If you know the Ross rumour.
Well,
tell Cecilia.
My wife's got a good Billy Idol story.
Okay.
She was floor managing the Countdown Awards back in the 80s, and Billy Idol was cued to come on and present an award, didn't appear, because he was in the wings, and this is a detail I like, being serviced by not one, but two women.
You're kidding me.
Two women.
You're kidding me.
In the wings of the Countdown Awards.
Wow.
Weren't those the days?
Money, money.
Did they cut to him?
I'd like to think so. Keep it short.
Oh,
you bring the orchestra in, it's going too long.
Play them off.
What else is going on? Oh, now Steve Irwin. Don't worry, we're not about to be offensive about the death of Steve Irwin, but they've put out this doll, the Steve Irwin doll.
Who's it for?
It's for kiddies. It's educational.
Okay.
It's raising money for a good cause.
Great.
For the Australia Zoo.
Great.
You pull the string out and it uses some of Steve's catchphrases. Have a listen.
Including eight of his famous catchphrases.
G'day, I'm Steve Irwin.
Okay, we know that one. G'day, I'm Steve Irwin. There's this one.
What a ripper.
What a ripper.
Yep, okay.
I remember him saying this a lot.
Crocs rule.
What was that?
That was Crocs rule.
Okay.
But do you remember this one?
I just got a call about a big old crocodile that's been making a nuisance of itself near a fishing camp, and we need to go get it out of there.
I just don't remember that one catching on?
It's catchy, though, because it's short.
I remember seeing it on a T-shirt.
It's kind of wordy.
How long would the string have to be for you to be in the next room? Pulling the string out
remember
of that
Remember this one, kids?
Anyway, it's for a good cause, so yeah. Snap them up. What about Russell Crowe? What's he done now?
He's owns a footy team, doesn't
That's
he?
That's right, the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Are they well credentialed?
They're kind of like the underdog team, aren't they?
Yeah, and they used to be really good a while ago.
Jeez, asking the wrong room.
Yeah, and then they were booted out of the comp for a bit, and then they're back, and they're a very nice bunch of people.
Yeah. Is that cool? You can't go
actually,
wrong.
Good Chinese restaurant in the Leagues Club. I went in there once. It was lovely.
Okay, there we go.
Not afraid to put pineapple in dishes. And that's okay by
now
me.
Now we're back on safe ground.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe's getting rid of the cheerleaders, or has done a while back. We're always
what are they called?
We're last with your sporting exclusives. Yeah. I'm not sure that they have a name, but it says Sydney co-owner Russell Crowe revealed last week his club had discarded its cheerleaders because they made male fans feel uncomfortable.
Jeez.
Is that true?
In all honesty, I get a bit uncomfortable when cheerleading. If it's close, it's close by, yeah. I get a bit...
Yeah. When it sort of crosses the line into lap dancing.
Never does.
When you're reaching for your wallet.
No, but you know what? And it's the leering as well. Like because they kind of like parade past the front section, the front rows. And people are always like hanging over and come and do stuff.
Okay. It's never really caught on either in Australia.
Cheerleading.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who make a good living out of it, and it's a wonderful art form. But I like to qualify
you don't offend the cheerleading fraternity, Rich.
It just hasn't caught on.
Paying
the
bills,
way.
Are they?
You know, you look at the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
I do look at them.
And they're amazing.
I do look at them.
Oh, you're so uncomfortable.
Sorry.
How uncomfortable you must feel.
Anyway.
No. Did he announce it? Did he go out on the ground and make a big announcement?
I think so.
How would that have sounded? These foul temptresses, sent back by the bastard son of a bastard father to lead our most splendid Rabbitohs into temptation, shall be consigned to the hell that spawned them. And this, almost merry red phone. Oh.
You sting.
Sorry, whenever Russell Crowe says anything, I hear cheering and inspiring music.
I hear trumpets.
How are we going for time, Nikki? Four. That's four fingers. Does that mean we're 4 minutes over or we've spoken for 4 minutes? That's not like us. We normally go for 8 or 9.
Yeah, what's happened?
Hey, we've got plenty to get to. New events for our listeners.
Yes.
To take part in.
Yeah.
That's coming up. And who is our sponsor for this half hour? I think it might be Josh Kett of Melton West.
Anything we know about Ketty?
He's sick of Melton South getting all the sponsorship on this program.
Boo!
Take that, South. Okay.
Big events next on Get This.
Get This.
A telly movie? Oh, definitely a telly movie there.
Brought to you by Josh Kett of Melton West.
Good morning, you lot. It's Get This Around the Nation. Tony
News.
Martin, Ed Caverly, Richard Marsden, and our new expanded time slot.
Yep.
And the podcast is back. There's four of them up now.
How much comedy have we got?
4 times 40 minutes.
It's great value.
Continuous.
Totally. I mean, free.
It's free. Free is the air we breathe. And who's in this one?
In the latest one, you've got a bit of Andrew Powell. You've got a bit of Dave Graney, a bit of Glenn Robbins.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people talking about soft drinks for some reason.
Okay. Snato Garrow.
Oh, you're not back on that again.
Snato Garrow.
How can there be any Santo Chilaro, often misspelt as Snato Garrow, when he hasn't been on the show yet?
Why not?
We've got to get him back in. We do have to get him back in. I love him dearly. Has emailed us.
Sup, Brad?
Brad was a listener to the old D-Generation Breakfast Show back in the late 1980s.
Good on you, Brad.
And he wants us to play more Wayne from St. Albans.
Is that one of Snatto's?
Yeah. That was one of Snatto's most popular characters. Unfortunately, that was in the days when people didn't tape their radio show.
You did.
I probably did too. Yeah. But there was no podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
There was no, you know, replays or anything. So all we have on tape from those days are the sketches. Mm-hmm. That was live.
Okay, Tom. Mm. You showed me yesterday a Spyrex, your weapon of choice.
The Spyrex notebook. A4 Spyrex.
Oh, he loves it. And you had on cards, was it every stand-up gig you've ever done?
Yeah.
Exactly the running time and the jokes that you wrote.
You know who you're working with, a nerd.
Now, what was your first date of your first stand-up gig?
4th of December 1990.
Wow.
That was 5 minutes of gold.
Was it? Did you ever die horrendously?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Stick around for the next hour. That never goes away.
Wow, Tone. It's so
constant
good.
Constant death.
It's so good that you've got all that stuff. You've got it all logged and,
it's,
you know.
All there for the comedy Nuremberg when that occurs. Russell Gilbert and myself in 1990 announced we were going to do the comedy Nuremberg.
What's going to happen?
We're just accumulating evidence. We have been accumulating evidence for 17 years.
Of what? Theft?
Of plagiarism.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Of theft.
Oh, dear.
Of just poor judgment.
Oh, dear.
There's going to be a whole week on Ian McFadden.
Is there?
It's going to be a big time event sometime in the future. But let's have some music. Let me just hang on a second. I'm going to pass you a xylophone today.
Thanks very much.
Actually, I'm just squeaking a microphone.
Yeah,
so that's
all right.
Really
help. It sounds like a xylophone in here. All right, I've got my xylophone. I've decided to wear some clothes that perhaps are a little bit too tight and perhaps might have been appropriate if I were a younger man, but I'm still wearing them now. 2, 3, 4.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
That's in excess. Never
better.
Let you go here.
Better.
And get this around the nation on Triple M. I think NXS touring at the moment and, frankly, not very happy with what you've been saying about them, Ed.
Insulting them and the whole group in this way and also insulting their families. I'd ask him to withdraw those stupid comments that he's made today.
Yeah, post-haste. I will. I take it back. I'm sorry. Whoever that was, I'm very sorry.
We finally broke a truce with the music department.
Tone, you did. You did a very good job, mate.
Oh, look, Boutros Morris was flown in from our Brisbane office.
Yeah, did a good job.
To sort of mediate between myself and Dobbo.
I think he was credited with an amazing idea, which I heard.
Yeah.
Tradie for a Lady, they're doing up in Brisbane.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
See, that, why haven't we got something
that
like that?
That is a great idea.
We will be getting to that up Talkback Mountain. But let me just make the announcement. If we agree to play 5 songs an hour, which is what we were doing last year up until September, then they will. That's true.
Oh, okay.
It was 5. It was meant to be 6.
Oh,
we were playing 5 till September, and then somehow got down to 3 in the last week.
Wow.
If we can play 5 an hour, they will agree to drop one of the ad breaks from the next hour.
That's a fair enough deal.
That's unheard of.
That's great.
Especially with our ratings. That's unheard of to get something like that.
Yeah.
So everyone's friends again.
Great.
Except for the sales team.
Yeah, there's some other cleaning up to be done there, but that's not our problem anymore.
That's okay.
So thanks to everyone involved.
Right.
And let's get up that mountain. Talkback Mountain. That's where we are. Looking for new events. We've announced, it happened last year. So many broken promises, Ed Cavalier. So many projects.
But so many also, lived up to.
Well, we finally did, there was the ping pong competition.
Oh, that was good.
Coming back.
Yeah, no.
Just so as we can hear those themes again. Yeah. Tell me about this idea they're doing in the Brisbane office.
Tradie for a Lady. 350 or X amount of tradies.
Yeah.
And then X amount of ladies.
Yeah.
Put them in a room together.
Right.
Give someone's got a nut, someone's got like a key and a lock or something like that.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Oh, see, that's organised.
See, now that's good.
Somebody's put that together. What have we got? This year already we've announced Caperl.
Looking good.
We've announced our rain dance competition.
Looking
that's
really good.
A dismal failure. You're writing a power ballad.
The listeners and I are writing a power
ballad. Oh! Dave Graney said some lyrics in.
Dave Graney.
One of Australia's foremost singer-songwriters has put pen to paper.
Here he goes.
Don't bugger him up for him.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking maybe, I don't want to do it.
Do you need to rehearse this off air?
Yeah, I do.
Rehearse it off air.
Yeah,
I don't want to cock that up.
Yeah, I don't
want to. What about our Birdman rally?
Great idea.
Yeah?
You're talking about the Birdie Gras?
Oh, the gay Birdman rally.
Yeah.
Floats going off a jetty.
Both.
To Pet Shop Boys.
It's great. Be so stereotypical, Tony. See, that was my like...
Oh, hang on, I'm playing an air violin.
That's my...
Look at me.
That's our AM bit. That's a bit of AM for everybody.
Yeah, well, what do you think? Give us a call.
That was fair.
I mean, you're talking to a man in a tight Liberace T-shirt.
That's right. Look at that.
It's great. Navy blue, and it's got diamantes that say Liberace on it. Where did I get it, you all ask? Liberace Museum.
Oh.
Right back off.
Piano in the lift. There's a piano in the lift.
Of course there is.
You can play your own lift music.
Whatever.
Go to the Liberace Museum.
I reckon. I've got an idea. Oh, here we go.
So you're saying rather than live up to the the promises we've already made. Bring on some more.
Philip Archer has emailed in and he has said that on Sunday the 4th of March, Moonlight Cinema in your Melbourne, they're showing Short Bus.
Oh, now the Moonlight Cinema concept is probably all over the country.
It's yes.
Sit outdoors. It's not normally as fruity as Short Bus, though.
Fruit City. He is suggesting a great opportunity as a teddy bear's picnic. Get this style.
Right.
Any thoughts? My thoughts are, keep your hands off me.
I don't understand.
I understand what's going on.
People dress up in teddy bear costumes.
No. Oh. People go along, blankets.
Oh, yeah.
A blanket to sit on and a blanket to cover yourself. Watching Short Bus.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to bring us good publicity.
Now, here's Pete. Pete's written into my MySpace and says, both Short Bus and the video of Little Superstar are both wow, but wow for two entirely different reasons. And I'd only show my mother one of them because she doesn't like Little Superstar.
Oh, okay.
Yay?
So he'd show his mother graphic pornography.
That's what he's suggesting.
In preference to Little Superstar, tiny dancing child on YouTube. Now, well worth a look.
Not a child, primordial dwarf.
Really?
Yep. 32 years old.
Okay. Sorry, we may have offended children
there. I've got an idea. Yep. Paintball.
Paintball what?
Us. To get this team paintball.
In the studio?
No. At a proper paintball place.
We'd be hopeless. It'd be a disaster. No. It's outside, for starters.
Come on, Tone. Get with it. All of us, in the fatigues, or perhaps if it's a completely red kind of environment, you'll fit in perfectly, Tone, with your blazing face. Then we have a paintball against either listeners and or, like, you know, one of the other shows on the network.
We're going to get creamed.
I don't think
the
we
only
will.
Way we could win that is if it was an environment we'd feel comfortable in, like, I don't know, Blockbuster.
Video store paintball.
Send a unit down to new releases. Maybe we could win. That's not going to work.
They're cowering behind the Carry On films.
I saw a great story in the paper about a cat that went missing and came back to
happened?
The... Yeah, I know. It's a cat story, but it went back to its owners after 11 years. So,
nice cat.
In between, while it was missing from its home, someone had been looking after it, but clearly... Now they're missing a cat because it's returned home.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, it got my mind wandering to some sort of homing pigeon race wherein we each have a pigeon.
Cat.
Yeah. It's released and the first one back wins.
We have a cat.
Well, a homing cat thing.
No, we each train a cat.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
But what does a homing pigeon need? Is that like a...
No, you just take three pigeons.
All right. Do they have a little message strapped to their...
How do you train a pigeon?
Well, the homing pigeon, they come
How
back
do you
the...
train them, though?
Well, they're trained to do it.
Tapes. I think they play them tapes.
I don't know.
These are
pigeons.
Some of the poorest suggestions I have ever heard.
Paintball.
We need the listeners to get on board. New events. Forget this. Give us a call. 133353. That's Hunters and Collectors. Do you see what I see here at Get This Around the Nation? We're up Talkback Mountain. No time for the theme. We're looking for fabulous new listener events that we can do like they do on proper radio shows. Who's got one, Ed?
Megan, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. What's your idea?
Well, my brother's birthday is in April, and I thought maybe you guys could throw him a Capril birthday party.
That's not a bad idea.
How old is he?
He'll be 22.
All right. Is he into capes?
Well, I'm going to make sure he is into capes by then.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know. Maybe just tie a sheet around his neck for the next month and a half.
That's a great idea.
Take him down to the House of Capes. Get him fitted up. What's he
Swirl
into?
Swirl one on.
What's he going to get for his birthday?
I have absolutely no idea. He's fairly into computer stuff, I guess.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Right, what sort of stuff does he do on the computer?
I don't know, everything from lots of internet cartoons. He's pretty much a big nerd like you guys. I think he'd fit right in.
Okay.
All right, he sounds like our kind of guy. But he hasn't gone too far, though. He doesn't play those games with the cards, does he? Like D&D and magic and stuff, does he? Does he have a fictional wizard somewhere in his life?
Who's that?
Oh. That's my brother.
That's him. What did he just yell out?
He said, go GoldenEye.
Okay.
Welcome aboard, Sam.
An N64 buff.
Yeah.
An antique buff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'll do that.
We'll put it on the list. I think we can go better than that, though, Ed.
Hi, Donna.
Ed.
How are you?
Good.
What do you think we should do?
I think we should get one up on Marty and Thief.
Oh, because what are they doing?
She's the dog whisperer.
Thief?
Oh, yes. Now, this is the shebang, breakfast in Sydney. They've got the dog whisperer going. What do we do? So how are we going to top that?
Ed should be the cat whisperer.
Oh, the cat whisperer.
Yeah.
They're not as responsive, the cats. They're
You get all the cat owners to call in, strangle their cats.
Oh, my goodness.
And Ed's got to guess what type of cat it is.
Just get them sort of rub their muzzles up against the microphone and I have to guess what kind of cat it is.
No, I don't. It's just going to be a bit of tail action, swing them around,
Donna,
whatever.
Donna, that is... That's a really actually quite a good idea.
Put them in the TV Week cat tunnel.
I'd do that, don't I? Do you have a cat handy?
No, I'm actually a dog lover, not a cat lover.
Ah, that's okay.
What sort of dog have you got?
Oh, it's a little terrier cross.
Oh, right. So there's an off switch on the eating mechanism, isn't there, with the terrier?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, not with the Labrador.
No, sir.
It never stops. My couch has gone missing.
Hey, Dan,
I'm finding bits of it in the backyard. What's going on there?
Hi, Daniel.
Daniel. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, mate. What do you think we should do?
Well, I was in with your idea, Ed, in the paintball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is a place here in Melbourne that does indoor paintball.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, is that like a sort of infrared or ultraviolet?
No, it's actual paintball.
Okay.
There is also indoor laser skirmish. Now, myself and some friends, we're all big nerds like you guys.
Yeah. Right.
Every year we get together and do a midnight till dawn,
wow,
7 hours of running around madness.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got one coming up in 2 weeks, which is the four big sci-fi fan clubs here in Melbourne.
Hang on, wow. So the Borg. So you all dress up as the Borg, and then some Ewoks show up, and then it's the Wookiees v the Borgs v the Ewoks. Is that how it rolls?
Well, it's Star Wars, Doctor Who, Oz Trek, all together in one big...
Oh, my goodness. Will, do you think there'll be a single woman invited?
Yeah, there is a couple.
who's going to do the city's IT when you guys are all there?
And now, this laser, what is it called?
Dark Zone.
Laser skirmish. I mean, is that dangerous at all?
No, not at all.
You couldn't accidentally have your cornea problem corrected?
Probably.
Okay.
Thank you, Daniel.
Laser indoor paintball. I guess that's possibly something we could have a crack
at.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea at all. Yeah. Is that everyone? Is this Mark there?
We can't get to Mark.
All right. So here we got Rob.
Oh, Rob, let's see. Are you there, Rob?
I am.
What's your idea for an event?
Well, if you can join us, I've got seven friends. We've all got a team, and we play against each other every 6 months for the World Cup on Xbox Soccer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, how close is it to the real World Cup?
It's nowhere near it.
Good. Well, that's what we're looking for.
The cup itself is actually a replica of the World Cup.
Oh.
And
is the team of Togo represented within the game?
Unfortunately not.
Unless Togo. Someone can be Otto Fister.
Yeah, no, they won't get a look in.
They're not represented by us, but you can choose to play as them if you like.
Okay. Well, no, that's not a bad idea. I like that it's all inside.
And sadly, we haven't heard from Mark,
yeah,
who I think wanted more ping pong.
Yeah.
But played on the back of a moving flatbed truck as it tours drought regions in Australia.
He's a good idea.
there we go. We love a bit of table tennis. Okay. I think can do better than this.
We've got to get like a tougher image or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that was video games and laser tag against the Borg.
Mm.
Are we that nerdy?
I think we are.
Really?
And we'll be classing the program up in the next test. Maybe Simon Palomares can help.
I'm going to join like a footy club or something.
That's not going to happen. After the news.
Get this.
Just a disaster for Australia.
Brought to you by Megan Oren, who keeps writing in.
What I want, cause I can, if I don't, because I wanna.
Thank you very much, Richard Cheese.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
It's the second hour of Get This, and look, Richard, Simon Palomares is here.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
Going to suave up our show, hopefully. It's been in the gutter for the last few days. Touring at the moment with Ildago. Have you been invited on Alan Jones' radio show?
Not yet, actually. I don't get Christmas cards from him either.
He's a big Ildivo fan, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, he's waving the flag for him.
Has he ever heard the music?
I don't know. We want to talk about cheap wedding ideas. Have you ever had one?
No, I'm a wog, so okay. There are no cheap wedding ideas whatsoever.
Well, we're going to try and think cheap.
Whisk that from the lounge suite and go up from there.
Oh, wow.
White goods.
Cheap jokes are acceptable in this hour.
Nice,
what else have we got coming up, Ed? Press Simon if you can.
What did the doctor give a stripper?
You've been saying that for 2 weeks.
No.
Is that actually a setup for a joke or a news story?
It's a news story.
Okay.
It's never appropriate once it comes time. You know what I mean?
Hard-hitting current affairs coming up in this hour. Yep. Get this. Oh, that's so stereophonics, is it, Richard? Richard Marsden pushes buttons here to get this around the nation on Triple M. Ed Cavill's here. I'm Tony Martin. And now Simon Palomares.
Hey.
Bulks up the numbers.
No, no.
Touring with Ildago.
Ildago, yeah.
Who else is it? It's you, George Capionaris.
Joe Avati, who is massive in Canada and New York and all that sort of thing. He started doing his comedy. He was working in the clubs in Sydney, and then he started putting his routines on Napster, and people in Canada and around the world started picking it up. And he just followed his audience and has, you know, been playing to sell out crowds around all over the world, basically.
And we're missing someone? Who else?
And Nish, who's a young, he's a Sri Lankan guy. He's actually, you know, the four of us have never worked, apart from George and I have been working together since we were, you know, four, basically. But it's, the four of us have come together so well. And I got to tell you something, because, you know, it's, it keeps being branded as a wog show, but it's such an open, you know, ethnic show for everybody, right? Yep. Because we all bring, you know, we talk about different. That's the beauty of this show is that we talk from an ethnic point of view about everything. From you know, I mean, I talk about my kids now. I've got, you know, I'm Spanish. Yes. My parents still hardly speak English, right?
Right.
And yet, I've got two kids who are emo. Now,
right,
yeah.
My Chemical Romance fans, are they?
I was at the concert. I was the oldest. I was the oldest person at the concert.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Was it emotional?
That crowd was so young. I swear, somebody was pushing a fetus in an incubator through the mosh pit. It was so unbelievable.
Not for the first time. Right.
So you can imagine what Christmas at my place is like when, you know, I got mum and dad on one side of the couch and the two emo kids not saying anything in the corner. Right.
And at the My Chemical Romance concert, what was your favourite number that they belted out? Was there anything particularly emotional that got you going?
When I was a young boy.
Oh, yeah, they love that. Yeah, the Black Parade. Yeah,
I had a little tear. I had a little black tear falling down my falling down my face.
And what sort of music are Ildago turning on, though?
Ildago, we're finishing off with a you know, big a parody of opera.
Yep.
But we're all coming out and do our own different bits. What I was telling you about Nish being a Sri Lankan guy is that we've spent so much time driving, the four of us driving around the car, and he's 28. He's the youngest of the group. He's 28, lives at home with mum and dad, and he starts telling us about his family, and we're just rolling on the ground car, because it's just, it's like our mums and dads, but with an Indian accent, right? You know, like he was saying, he said to his dad, "Oh, can you give me a lift somewhere?" And his father said, "What do I look like to you, a taxi driver?" Well, yeah. You know.
Yeah. You know. Just a polite silence, probably.
Suffice there. Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember seeing, you mentioned you and George, I remember seeing, and years before Wogs Out of Work started.
Tibaldi Brothers.
Yeah. Doing Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
I remember
seeing
it.
A classic.
Doing
a classic.
In pubs.
Mama, take that pasta away from me. I can't eat it anymore.
Do any of those ever come out? Do you ever drag out any of the old standards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't do that, you know, Knocking on Heaven's Door and stuff like that anymore. But, you know, our stuff has really moved up with what's happening now. I mean, you know, I talk a lot about like John Howard not wanting people who don't speak English to come to the country and all that sort of thing. And which really gets me, right, because I didn't speak English when I was when I was a kid, right, until I came here. So, you know, and I grew up watching things on Spanish television like La Familia de los Brady.
You know? That's right.
I still remember the theme song in Spanish is "Es la historia de una señora que tenía tres niñas muy bonitas." You know, and we used to love Cindy, the little one, because she used to talk like this, and we thought she was really Spanish. You know, so
you've assimilated.
Yeah.
This test, I was just reading in the paper yesterday, the new citizenship test is going to cost $14.6 million.
Yeah.
What is that going on? Surely it's just a series of questions and can you pronounce this? Are you a John Farnham fan?
Are you willing to learn about Farnsie? If not, because the Observer told me that one of her relatives came to Australia ages ago, and the only question that they asked was, do you know what, define the verb to shout? And they knew that it meant to buy drinks. Like, great, sweet, you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In New Zealand, it's just, have you got any fruit? That's just once the fruit questions answer, you're in, you're assimilated.
And the other thing is, you can't take away from kids, you know, it is so much fun. I can't tell you how much fun it is to grow up with parents who don't speak English. Okay? I'll tell you that right now. This is a true story. We had, when we were kids living in Werribee, in Hoppers Crossing, right? My mum and dad bought us a dog with really long, flappy ears, right? And my sister and I
called it flaps.
Right.
The hours that my sister and I spent at that window watching my mother on the footpath going, flaps! Flaps! And, you know, screaming to the lady across the street, Signora, you see my flaps anywhere? You can't take that away from kids. You can't take that away.
See, that's what we'll lose once we're all talking the same.
Forget it.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, Simon, there is so much in your back catalogue. You are talking to video shop nerds. We're going to get down to the bottom shelf of video and see what Simon has been hiding under his bed. That'll be next. That's Matchbox 20 at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Simon Palomar is currently touring with Il Dago, is with us. Whereabouts are you on?
We're at the Northcote Town Hall. We've got a special show for Diversity Week here on the 20th of March.
Which Adelaide, is, Brisbane.
Then we've got Adelaide, Brisbane, DY, RSL, Canterbury, South Sydney, Juniors in Sydney. And then we go to Brisbane, then we go to Adelaide, and we go in Perth.
Beautifully remembered. Well done. Now let's get back into the back catalogue. The Light Horseman, you were in that Australian film, The Light Horseman.
I can do the whole part right here,
The whole character.
Do you need a lead-in line, or do you just
No, because I played a Turkish captain.
Great.
Right.
So paint the picture, what's going on?
The Australians are about to attack Tel Aviv.
Yep.
Right. There is a big meeting with the Turkish general and his, you know, and the German general.
Great.
And thing. I run up the stairs and I say, sir, the Australians are getting closer.
Oh. That's it.
I believe every word of that.
Wait. Oh. 5 minutes later, I run in again and say, sir, the Australians are nearly here.
Oh.
That's my whole part in the film.
It should have been. Didn't you just get out of there? Like, you just hightail it out for the battle.
That's right.
For the battle, are
and
you?
And go and, you know, catch a boat and grow up and have a family in Argentina after that.
Yeah. There we go. Deleted scenes.
The way you went.
On the DVD. You could have stretched that a lot longer. Still not here yet. Okay, what about, you know, there was a spate of movies. You would remember this in the video shop, Ed. Mm. In the early 90s, where suddenly it was Ing, someone's name.
Yeah.
Chasing Amy. Mm-hmm. There was others. Deconstructing Henry.
Yes.
Or Harry.
Raging Bull.
That was one.
There we go.
What about one called Shooting Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah.
With Jeff Goldblum.
That's a classic.
And Simon Palomares.
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen? How did you do a film with Jeff Goldblum, co-starring?
Okay, I got married and left to Tracy Callender.
Yes.
Who played Elizabeth in Acropolis Now.
That's right.
We got out of here. We went and lived in Madrid for a year. Mm-hmm. And this is after, like, you know, 4 years of walks out of work and Acropolis Now and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Really needed a break. We got married. We went and lived in Spain. I got a job teaching English.
Yep.
Right, in Madrid. I had the best year of my life. Just hanging around Madrid. Got a job at night in a Indian restaurant called Madrid Madras.
There we go.
I kid you not, right? And one day I started talking to a lady who was an agent there, Katrina Bayonis, who's related to a Bayonis, producer Bayonis.
Oh, yes, Lynn Bayonis.
Lynn Bayonis, you know, in a very sort of strange kind of a way, who then became, this lady actually was Penelope Cruz's manager as well. And we just got talking, said, you know, about acting and the whole thing. I had no idea about or need to go into any show business in Spain. And she said, well, you know, I'm casting this film in English that's shooting here. And, you know, why don't you go and have a look at a part? And I went along. I got the part. And a month later, I was teaching. I was still teaching. My head was so out of the show business idea that I had a class at 11 o'clock. And I got a phone call saying, Jeff Goldblum wants to meet you in his hotel room to talk about the part you've got to play with him. Right. And it was actually quite a substantial part. And I had a class at 1. So I literally went to his room and I spent the whole time just looking at my watch going, okay, Jeff, you know, make it quick because I've got to go.
Ask kids if they're chewing or not.
That's right. And it was Mimi Rogers was in it, Jeff Goldblum, and you being video nerds.
Wow, you've dropped two Tom Cruise wives names already.
I know.
One story.
And who I didn't know that when we were actually filming, my first day of filming, I'm standing there and I look and this Chinese guy comes walking across the set and it was Bert Kwok, who played
Kato.
Kato.
In the Pink Panther film.
I mean, I was just that. Then I was absolutely starstruck.
And did you have any scenes with him? Did he have to?
I did.
Leap out of a closet.
Look,
at you?
I loved him because we ended up staying in the same hotel together. We were like sitting down having dinner, and this guy, this is how he started his show business career. Right? Has never been out of work in like 50 years. Yeah, right? Never been out of work. He got his first gig, right, because he was Chinese and they needed Chinese extras, right, for a film called 55 Days in Peking, which was being shot in Madrid,
right,
which is where he was shot, because Madrid, they shot Dr. Zhivago and a whole stack of, you know, these 50s classics over there, and, you know, they needed Chinese people. They sent him over to Madrid.
Wow.
And from then on, he just kept going from one film to the next. And he had this, he said, look, you know, we're actors. You know, we don't pick up rubbish. If we stop acting, there's not going to be like a health crisis.
You
just get paid. You know, some of these films will probably, like this one, for example, Shooting Elizabeth, will go into video, DVD. We'll never see it again.
No.
You know, and he was like about 2 years away from retiring. And he was literally one of the greatest people I ever talked to in the business.
And isn't he still alive?
He's still going. He was fit like a 20-year-old. He was probably 60 by the time.
Where was he in that Steve Martin one?
Which one?
Yes. The new Pink Panther. Why couldn't Kato have come back?
That film needed Kato.
He could have been in a wheelchair just lurching out of a closet with an ice pick. That would have worked. Shooting Elizabeth is one of those films. It's this category we've talked about before. On VHS, maybe not going to make the leap to DVD. No, yeah. The waters are rising.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to get the titles up to Basecamp 1.
I found it. I'll tell you what. I found it at my local Bilo.
Oh.
In one of those 10 films in one packet.
Oh, really? That's when you know you've made it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we need your help, Simon. We are talking cheap. You know, weddings are expensive. Let's not deny it. They're getting more expensive. People need cheap wedding ideas.
And that's a skip wedding.
Yeah, like, that's
right. Get a wog wedding.
That's, on a vast scale, unimaginable to thin white nerds. We're going to have to talk this up. Let's do that next and get the listeners on board.
Get this.
I'm psyched, pumped, amped, excited. Yeah, can't wait to see what happens.
Brought to you by Brian Stanley, known in Brisbane as the Great Gadzook.
Let's get this around the nation on Triple M, where Simon Palomares is co-hosting for this hour. Going back through your old credits, Simon, what are you voice and video games?
When I play a crowd, you know, sometimes I get to a gig, right, and I'm standing in front of an audience that looks so young,
right,
that I think I should be doing this gig on MSN, right? Okay, because you know, like my kids are all into
what do they do on MSN?
They talk to lots of I walked past my 12-year-old and I said who are you talking? Who are you talking? You've been there like four hours, and he said the girl upstairs. I'm going, you could open the window and just, you know, talk to her.
Shout.
You could shout. You could just go to the footpath, go across to the park and talk to her. And he goes, well, I would if somebody bought me a laptop.
Oh, well, there we go. Give him a can with a string, you know?
And then no, just to work for us. He wants a mobile for Christmas. Two cans and a string.
Right, so you're playing these gigs.
Anyway, so I play these gigs, right, and this audience looks so young, and, of course, the Wogs at a Week was 20 years ago, so you know, these kids weren't even born. And every now and then, if I want to impress it, I just go, oh, and by the way, I did the voiceover for the whole of the Greek and the Roman army in Rome, Total War.
And I'm
thinking, I've never seen the game. I never played the game. I've never even seen it in a shop. I just went in one day, and it's the weirdest thing to do the voices for a video game or you know, like an Xbox game type of thing, because you do these great big speeches, you know, countrymen, soldiers of Greece, go forth, you know, you do all these great big speeches, but then they give you like a phone book of pages, right, with all the different sounds that every soldier has to make, right? So it's like Greek soldier getting hit by a sword.
Good.
Falling off a horse.
I recognize you now.
Getting hit by a spear. You do this for 3 hours.
What about like a hit by a catapult? Hit by a catapult. Oh, wow. Black.
So much to master.
That was me. Yeah. That was me.
I wanted to be the guy in the N64 multi-race championship who's just in the car game, who's just going, what are you doing? pull over. And I drive my wife insane because I insist on doing those lines when she's driving. What are you doing?
I think it's amazing that my kids can find a gang of drug dealers in the middle of the streets of LA, right, on Grand Theft Auto, but they can't find the school bag in their room.
If there's a game of that, they'll be very good. Hey, we're going to talk weddings. Let's do that next. That's, well, it's Billy Idol with White Wedding, because we're about to talk weddings here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. But Simon Palomares is here, and he just keeps mentioning things he's done.
Oh, fair. So good.
So much stuff. What, you had your own chat show in Spain?
I had my own chat show. I was a writer.
Hang on. You're feeling a bit off mic today.
Yeah, no.
technical problems. Take two.
No, I was a writer. It was one of these jobs. I was sitting at home here in Melbourne, and a friend of mine from Madrid rang up and said, "Are you doing anything at the moment?" And I went, "Well, you know, I've got a couple of things." "Oh, it's just that if you really want, you know, you can come and work on a Tonight Show as a writer in Spain. Our budget is $250,000 a night."
Wow. And,
a night, five nights a week. And
who's the host?
The host was actually a guy who was a diplomat, and his sidekick was a younger guy. They would have one guest per night, right? We had a bank of about 10 writers, and like some of the guys that I was sitting around there, they brought me in to work as a, you know, to develop sketches and all that sort of thing. And it was just. The last week I was on, we had Lou Reed one night, Sting the next, Elvis Costello, François Sardi, the French singer, right? And it was a music week. And that was the standard every single night.
And did Greg Fleet pop in for the last show?
Fleety get a jersey.
were telling me you wrote a joke for Lou Reed.
I did. I wrote an opening gag for, because we had one guest for the whole hour. Yeah. So by the end of the whole hour, there's, you know, these guests were just so relaxed by the whole thing, and they will always end up spilling the guts about something that we're talking about.
We've been trying to do that on our show.
Yeah,
we need a 3-hour show. Don't say that.
No.
Yeah, but the thing is, it was because he's renowned for being a really bad
comedian,
interviewee, right? And everyone was really panicking, and so the gag was that he sits down, he's got his sunglasses on, they ask him three questions, and he just stares there blankly at them and just stands up and walks away, and you hear a door slamming, right? So they had these great big meetings, who was going to tell Lou Reed that he had to do a gag and all that sort of thing, and they told him, and he said, okay. And he sat down and he put on his sunglasses and he sat there staring at the two presenters, and the two presenters was like sweating it out, asking him three questions, and eventually the last question was just too stupid, and he sort of raised one eyebrow and just went, turned the chair around, walked out of the room and slammed it. And he was like on the ball. It was
and
great.
By the end of the show, he was doing the thing with the plank where you turn around, hit someone in the back, hitting John Cale in the back of the head, then taking down Bowie with a custard pie.
And the black sheep was singing, boom, 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 boom. Okay.
We want to talk cheap wedding ideas, you know, because you've got some research, haven't you, to back this up?
Yeah, the Church of England in the news. They've released a new guide advising couples to shun the spend culture and embrace a more simplistic approach when it comes to weddings.
Well,
they're saying that brides should travel by taxi, wearing a second-hand dress, and also suggests asking guests to take their own grog to the reception.
Oh, you BYR.
And if you could leave the empties there so we can get a refund. Yes. They can make some bread on the deal.
I went to a wedding like that in one faggy, actually.
Fantastic. Well, one way is to fly to Vegas and get married, which is what I did, because could not.
Did you really get married in Vegas?
We did, because I had a friend who aged, as I always say, he aged 6 years and 6 months preparing for his own wedding. And I said, "What is it? Why is it so grueling?" He's gone, "Mate, I'm going to go home tonight and have a discussion about serviette rings." I'm going, "I never want to have a discussion about serviette rings in my life." So we just went, and you do. It's about $145. Depends if you want the young Elvis or the old Elvis.
Oh.
Old, but young takes it more seriously, $40 more. Think about
the
it.
The old what, ones in what, a bed, you know.
Yeah, that's
on the machine.
No karate moves. No.
When I was putting my wedding together, it was just, I kept thinking, I've produced like 10 shows already. Like, I've done some really big stuff. Why is this so hard? There's only, you know, we've produced shows where thousands of people have turned up. There are only like 200 people turning up to this. Why is this so hard? And it's because you've got 15 producers. Everybody wants a say in it.
And there's associate producers, executive producers, cheap ideas.
And you can't cut the budget because you have to have this.
You have to have
the doves. Oh, you know, it's the right thing. You've got to have the doves flying.
It's not love without doves.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
anything.
Have you got any cheap wedding ideas, Ed Cavalier?
Look, if I was to ever get married,
yes.
It just sounds so far away. Yeah. You know, like I think, you know, kids, I think I'll probably end up with cats or a dog. You know what I'm saying? Or DVDs, the Martin style. But cheap wedding, I reckon eloping is definitely the way to go.
Right.
You've got Vegas. I mean, they've built Vegas. Use it, you know? Use it for its many purposes.
It's there, waiting for you.
Rich?
My parents just did away with the honeymoon. They didn't have a honeymoon and still haven't had a honeymoon 28 years later, 30 years later.
Have the honeymoon, forget the wedding.
Yeah, I know. We should treat them to it.
But cut straight to the good bit.
Aren't you meant to, isn't the honeymoon all about, like, you know?
Conjugating.
Yeah, isn't it all about, like,
the honeymoon is about resting after the wedding. That's what it is. Yeah,
right. I think it's about consummating.
Yeah. Consummating.
It is conjugating. Yeah. I don't think it's around fixing sentences on your wedding night. That verb needs moving. Call us. Call Simon Palomaris. He's going to judge today your cheap wedding ideas. 133353. It's Get This Around the Nation. That'd be Avril Lavigne.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, we're keeping up because we've got callers on the boil here. Simon Palomaris is with us. We're looking for cheap wedding ideas. Who have we got, Ed?
Hello, John.
G'day, guys.
Hey, mate. Tell us your idea.
Get everyone to lob straight from the ceremony to the for the reception at Smorgies.
Oh, Smorgies.
Oh, yes.
Smorgies. Say it with Smorgies.
What's Smorgies?
That's not my idea. I actually seen it done.
Really?
Hang on.
You've seen it done?
Yeah, I was there. Well, I don't know. I didn't know the people. I just was at Smorgies one day, picking out as you do, and they just lobbed at the door.
It's all you can eat.
All you can eat.
My parents' four favourite words: all you can eat.
In that order.
Hang on a sec. So that the reception shows up, and did they have speeches and stuff like next to the Bay Maria, next to the soft serve machine?
I think there was. Well, they were sort of seated over in the back corner. So,
Jesus.
You know, they sort of walked past us and all bowled over there in their group and.
Do you know what I don't like, John? It seems as though I would be very upset because if I'm at Smorgies or your Sizzler or any of your other fine or you can eat establishments, I want there to be the least amount of people there possible.
So you can get to the prawns.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Avoid
non-delicious filler.
That's the track.
Hello there, James. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Really good. Talk us through it.
Well, I used to manage a Video Easy store in Sydney.
Good on you.
Which one? Hang on. Which one?
I can't really say.
Really? Exact.
No, it ended badly. But anyway.
Hang on, James. You know you're not going to get away like that. How long did you do it for?
About 9 months or so.
You did get sacked. And tell me, what was your never fail recommendation, your weekly recommendation?
Weekly recommendation. Mm. I didn't quite go to the adult section, but you know, it was some jerky titles in there.
Yeah, sure there were. All right, talk us through it.
Okay, managing that store, the wedding singer was due to be released by Village that year, and they said, they're always big at sort of trying to get you to do some marketing exercises. So I said, well, why don't we have a wedding in the store?
I found
this couple that were only going to get married in their backyard and have a barbecue.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting vintage wedding cars, the bridesmaid's dress, the champagne, the catering, the whole bit, and it cost them absolutely zilch.
Fantastic.
Wow. Any chiquitos as you want?
Rather than just a loaf, I think you should just try and get something out of it. So maybe contacting your local video store would be a good idea.
And don't forget, the bride is due back in 7 days.
That's right.
See?
That is a great idea.
And you can do four for $10.
There we go. Cheap. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. What is your idea?
We actually invited everybody up for a housewarming, so of course they brought their own grog, and then while they were there, we had a celebrant slip in and say, right, now you're coming to our wedding.
That's a great idea.
Fantastic.
So we had a clown there to entertain all the kiddies to keep them occupied, and halfway through our what do you call those things, the vows, she struck up a song, the chicken dance song.
What a moving ceremony.
No wedding is complete without it.
That is a beautiful image.
No wedding is complete without a clown anyway, so we thought we'd supply one ourselves.
That's very nice.
Surprise, you've got the birdie dance, you've got the clown, and of course those pesky, what are they called, vows. Yeah. Don't forget those.
Hi, Paul, how are you?
G'day, mate, how are you?
Very good. Talk us through it.
Yeah, look, I've got an idea. I reckon just go nuts on the reception, make sure you get as much as you possibly can, and then actually at the reception, auction off your bridal party.
Oh! Have you tried this yourself?
No, but I thought about it, you know, make the money back.
So you're saying like a bachelor auction?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, get the guys to do some odd jobs around the house, see who wants to make the highest bid and see how much money you can get
great
back.
Idea. Yeah. That's a great idea.
That's right. Yep. And because you don't want to lose money on a wedding. I mean, what's the point?
No, exactly.
It really is the worst investment possible.
It certainly is.
There is no return on it whatsoever.
You know what you could do, Paul? You could have poker machines in there. That'd be good. Yeah, that'd turn a buck or two. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Your idea.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, oh, yeah, we can.
Excellent. Well, my idea was to exploit new photographers.
What do you mean?
I'm a new photographer, and I've just done a wedding free, and from here on in I start to charge, but it starts off really cheap.
Oh, okay, so you're just giving someone some flying hours on the camera.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Obviously, the pictures may not come out.
Yeah.
Well, they will if it was me.
Right.
And that would be Jules Rock's photography, of course.
Yes.
But, I'm quite willing to do photography very cheap, so.
Yeah.
I'm on the Central Coast, New South Wales, though.
There's the old idea of getting the whole wedding party into a car and just going through an intersection really quickly.
That's right.
And waiting till the council deliver the wedding photos.
There you
That's
go.
A cheap idea. These are great suggestions, aren't they?
Never pay full price again.
The thing is, we've gone through all these ideas and I can see Ed is still thinking about Smorgies.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's top flight.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I had my Bucks night at the Swagman.
Oh, the Swagman.
Which was the classical.
Is that
what
you can eat?
That was in Fern Tree Gully.
Fern Tree Gully, yeah, until it burned down by a, what do you call it? Lebanese lightning.
I was going to say, in mysterious circumstances, that's what right. We'll do. We'll be back in a moment. I'll get this. Oh, time for us to go here and get this. That was the... Wow, we're playing songs.
Yeah.
We're getting them through. Everybody's happy today on Get This, the new Radicals. So I'm Palomaris. Thank you for sitting in for the whole hour.
Thank you for having me. I had a ball.
Ildago is coming to pretty much everyone who's listening's town. You're coming to, Melbourne, yep. Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide.
Go to myspace.com/Ildago Comedy and you've got all the details there.
All right. And just tell us who it is again yourself. George Capionara.
Joe Avati. George Carbinara's Nish, who's a wonderful young Sri Lankan guy from Brisbane, and myself, and doing a great show for the Comedy Festival at the Northcote Town Hall with a special preview on the 20th of March.
And that's a top night, and if you're looking for Simon's old film Shooting Elizabeth, you'll find it on the bottom shelf at Video Easy in a sun-faded cover next to a copy of Watch Out, We're Mad, starring Terence Hill and Bud Spencer. That would be my guess. That'd be where I'd start. Thanks, everybody who called in, and I think our key phrase today was...
wastage and seepage.
And we'll be back tomorrow with George McEncroe from our Brisbane office. And it's all thanks to As Yet Nobody.